Bad Feminist by Roxane Gay. Some jokes are funnier than others. When I was in the sixth grade, a kid in my class, we'll call him James, was really funny, the class clown. James joked about everything, and we all loved him for it because his wit was so sharp, even at such a young age. You never wanted James to turn his humor against you, but you always wondered what he might say next. You always laughed. On January 28, 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger lifted off at 10:38 in the morning. We were watching television in science class, and it was a big deal to have our traditional class activities set aside to watch the launch. Our science teacher was particularly excited. He loved anything science-related and was a deeply engaged teacher. He was so personally invested because Kristen McAuliffe, a teacher from New Hampshire, was one of the seven astronauts hurling towards space. The mysteries of outer space felt a little more within his reach that day. He was the kind of man who wanted to touch the stars. Shortly after liftoff, the Challenger exploded. We watched on the small television screen as the shuttle burst into flames, and thick, spiraled plumes of smoke filled the air. Debris began falling into the ocean. It did not seem real. The classroom went silent. We were stunned. Our science teacher's eyes reddened, and he kept trying to speak but could only clear his throat. My classmates and I stared at one another uncomfortably. The newscasters began to report what few facts they knew. James snickered and said, "I guess there are a lot of dead fish now." Our science teacher lost it completely and gave James a serious dressing down. The rest of the year was rough for James. He had finally crossed an invisible line about what one can or cannot joke about. I've never forgotten that day, or how James suddenly became an outcast because he went too far, because it was too soon, because joking about a tragedy was too much. You are a badass. How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life by Jen Sincero. Chapter 1. My subconscious made me do it. Many years ago, I was in a terrible bowling accident. My friends and I were at the tail end of a heated tiebreaker, and I was so focused on making a great show of my final shot, leaping into action, loudly declaring my impending victory, dancing and twirling my way through my approach, that I didn't realize where my feet were when I let go of the ball. This was the moment I was to learn how serious the bowling community is about penalizing those who roll with one toe over the line. They pour oil, or wax, or lube, or something unimaginably slippery all over the alley. And should someone accidentally slide out of bounds while attempting the perfect hook shot, she will find her feet flying out from under her and her ass crashing down onto a surface that even an airborne bowling ball can't crack. A few weeks later, whilst lolling about in bed with this guy I met at Macy's, I explained that ever since my accident, I'm now woken up in the middle of the night with an excruciating pain in my feet. According to my acupuncturist, this is from the nerves in my back getting slammed when I fell, and in order to sleep through the night, I'd need a new, firmer mattress. "I have pains in my feet when I sleep too," he said, raising himself up for an unreciprocated high five. It's not just because I'm not into the whole high five thing that I left him hanging, but also because I was annoyed with him. I already find mattress shopping to be totally bizarre and embarrassing. Lying on your side with a pillow between your thighs for all to see like it's anyone's business. But the fact that I had to do it with my salesman lying next to me, begging for a high fiver, was more than I can handle. I couldn't help but notice that all the other salesmen simply stood at the end of the bed, rattling off mattress facts while their clients tested out a myriad of positions. But not mine. He'd lower down next to me on his back, arms crossed over his chest, and thoughtfully chat away, staring at the ceiling like we were at summer camp. I mean, he was nice enough and incredibly knowledgeable about coils and latex and memory foam, but I was scared to roll over for fear he'd start spooning me. Was I too friendly? Should I not have asked him where he was from? Did he think I meant something else when I patted the empty space next to me to test the pillow top? I obviously should have asked Freakshow Bob to get off the damn bed, or found someone else to help me, instead of sneaking out the door and blowing my only opportunity to go mattress shopping that week. But I didn't want to embarrass him. I didn't want to embarrass him. This is pretty much how my family was trained to deal with any sort of potentially uncomfortable interaction. Along with the fail-safe method of running in the opposite direction, other tools in our confrontation toolbox also included freeze, talk about the weather, go blank, and burst into tears the moment you're out of earshot.